Andrew is the Aussie bloke living in the US. Heather is the American gal living in Australia. Together, they travel the world sharing strategies on how to put your business on autopilot. Doing business online is no longer about having a website. To get more clients and take care of the ones you have, you will need a map. They've got it. So sit back and relax and welcome aboard. This flight is bound to autopilot your business.
Heather Porter, welcome to Autopilot Your Business.
Andrew McCauley, welcome to Autopilot Your Business.
This is going to be a bit of fun, I think.
I think so too. I mean, you and I have been doing this now for a while, and we are just, there's so much to learn and so much to share, and we thought, well, what's the quickest way to get this out there, all of our knowledge collectively to everybody, very quickly and very easily, and it can be a podcast.
Yeah, I guess, let the listeners know that we've been, as you said, working together for a while, and I think a couple of weeks ago we were sitting around talking about what sort of things that we know as far as applications and tools inside the internet marketing industry. And I guess between us, we've covered a lot of information.
It's actually insane how much knowledge that we have. We were just, everybody, we were talking the other day on the phone, and we thought, between membership sites and email programs and different marketing tools, what we have actually, the two of us, individually done to work with our clients is crazy. I mean, it's a list of probably 100 different tools. So we want to share them with you and how they can work in your business and autopilot your business so you can actually start doing more of what you like to do and scale your business and grow it into something amazing.
Yeah, I guess, a lot of our clients say to us, they give us some indication of what they want, and we go ahead and learn what these programs or these platforms are. And one of the common things that comes up for a lot of the clients is that, you know, all the tools that we use, they don't necessarily want to know how to use it. They're not interested in using it, but they know that they need these tools for their business. So I guess that's where we come into it, is that we can apply these tools to all these businesses and make it work for them so that they don't have to go and be a tech head and stick their head in geek books like we like doing sometimes.
And the other thing too is what I found, a lot of people have been really taken advantage of by suppliers, and they're being charged ridiculous amounts for very basic websites that they don't even have access to. They don't even have the login details to. So I think now's the time for people to know truly how easy, how accessible these tools are to them. And if you have the right ones working for you, you can create something amazing using the internet.
Yeah, I guess. And a lot of the tools that we're going to be talking about are generally free tools, although nothing's ever free in life, really. And one of the traps that people think about these free tools, you know, Facebook's a free tool and Twitter's a free tool and that sort of stuff, but the trap about these things is that it may be free as far as money goes, but it's quite costly in terms of time and learning how to use it and how to use it effectively. Mm-hmm. So I think people get caught up in the fact that because it's free, they shouldn't be having to pay for any services involved with it. And one of the things we'd like to tell people from the beginning is just be careful about what's free and how you determine what free really is.
Yeah, and remember, between Andrew and I, we have collectively something like 20 years of knowledge in this area. So 20 years, that's a long time and a lot of hours to study, to know what to use and how to use it. And actually, with that said, Andrew, let's just tell everybody who we are and where we came from. Well, how do we know what we know? So, Andrew McCauley, who are you?
I guess that's probably a good thing to introduce ourselves. Well, my background initially was in hotels, running pubs and clubs around Melbourne in Victoria. I did that for 17 years, and I learned a lot about dealing with people, building relationships with people, and running businesses. And businesses that really, sometimes we're on a bit of a shoestring too. So I learned effectively how to use my dollar wisely in terms of marketing and getting people to come inside my business. Because like any business, if I didn't have foot traffic coming in the door, I wouldn't have a business at all. So I spent a long time doing that. And then around about 2006, I got out of the industry finally, and I started up my own business consulting company. And at around that time, one of my early clients said to me, "Hey, what's this stuff that people are doing on Facebook? How can I use that for business?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I don't even know what Facebook is." So I went and investigated, and I found a few case studies of how people were using Facebook for business. And I fell in love with it. You know, I just thought that it was such a game changer in terms of communication and how people are doing business. And also the fact that how many people can be reached via the internet for some businesses that were just localized businesses. So I got involved with Facebook early 2006, and Twitter soon followed, LinkedIn, and now it's just it's an absolute passion of mine dealing with all of this social media and the internet marketing stuff. And one of the things I really love is putting strategies in place. And I think one of the things, Heather, that most businesses miss is that, yeah, you can go and get a high school kid to set you up a Facebook page or a Twitter account, but at the end of the day, if they're not having successful strategies, then they're not going to be successful at using these tools at all.
Very good point. So, very good point. And people, that's how you become to be known as the social media bloke, because you know social media from a perspective of getting traffic in the door to your business, using it in a very strategic way that doesn't take a lot of time, because you're really no fuss. Like, you want to get in, get out, get it working as quickly as possible.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, that was so that's been my life for the last 5 years. I now live in the US, funnily enough. But the advantage of living in the US is that the technology over here is a little bit ahead of the curve in Australia, although a lot of my clients are in Australia, which is great because I can bring this new technology to Australia, and these clients are at the forefront of anything that's coming out because I'm able to learn it over here before it even hits anyone else in Australia. So so now I live in the US with my wife and my son, travel a lot, I go to a lot of events, I speak at a lot of events, but you know, it's a passion of mine. I don't find it as a hard work because it's fun and it's engaging, and that's it. I'm traveling the world, loving what I'm doing, and now I'm talking to you on a podcast, which is awesome.
Fantastic. I love it. And you know, here I am. I'm in Australia, funny enough, and I'm in Sydney, and I'm sitting here staring out my my home office at this big, beautiful ocean in northern Sydney as we're doing this, as we speak. And my little journey of getting to Australia, I started back in events as well. I've always worked running events, producing, managing on-site, off-site, all sorts of different events. And way back in around 1998, I had a small business where I produced art, fashion, and music shows in Southern California. And being the bootstrapping sort of girl I am, I figured out how to teach myself web design way back then and how to actually embed videos when YouTube wasn't really even in existence. So self-taught with the internet since, you know, over 10 years ago.
Just before you go on, self-taught versus being educated properly. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh gosh, self-taught, you tend to spend a lot more time doing self-taughtness. And the reason why is because you're constantly running around trying to find credible resources to teach you, and you just don't know. It's completely trial and error. And like, just for me to get a home page up on a website, like a basic home page where you go .com and you hit a page, took me probably a week just to learn something as basic as that back then. So yeah, time consuming, and made a lot of mistakes as a result. But because of those mistakes, understand what mistakes not to make and what tools are out there, because I tried everything. Dreamweaver, HTML code, you name it, but we'll go into that later, because that's kind of techie.
It is pretty techie.
It is. So from there, basically, really dived into events and running really massive seminars all over the world with a whole gamut of speakers and authors and experts. And something about the internet kept calling me back, so I started pursuing that again about 4 years ago, and self-taught myself on a membership site. What is a membership site? It's basically a place where a whole bunch of members can go hang out, have a chat, get familiar with your brand, and access great content. And so I had to figure out what exists out there on the internet in this space to create something like that. And I tried so many different tools. I listened to so many different courses and mentors, and I really got to learn the environment of the internet, how quickly it's moving, how many great free resources there are, and most importantly, what you can do to link them all together. So I guess I've really become known as a systems expert, where you're a social media, I'm more, what's your business doing right now? What's not working for you? How can we make it really easy and link systems up together to give you an automated business using the internet? And automated, I mean something that ticks over when you're sleeping, generating sales and generating new clients for you.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's great. And that's what I guess these podcasts are all about, is to help business owners. So who's this podcast really aimed at? I guess it is business owners and people that need to work out what it is in their business that they need from the internet to make their business grow. Would that be right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anybody on that's listening to us, we're here to help demystify the scary world of the internet, the tools that exist, and social media, and explain to you how really important it is for you to be using it. I mean, what, Andrew, how many, was it 500 million people use Facebook? Is that right?
Yeah, 600 plus now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
600 million plus.
It's like the second largest country in the world. And if you're not hanging out in that country, having a chat with the people and the citizens in that country, your business does not exist there.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty insane numbers. You know, all of these social media numbers that are spitting out right now, you know, they say there's 2 billion videos watched every day on YouTube. There's 200 million people on Twitter and 150 million on LinkedIn or something. And as you said, if you're not speaking the language of these large sites and these large platforms, then you're not doing business with any of these people. So that's just social media stuff. You know, then you start talking about the websites and traffic and that sort of stuff, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah,
it becomes a phenomenal place not to be involved with if you're not on those platforms.
Yeah, yeah. And we're here to make it easy for you guys. So how about we dive into some of the things we're going to be talking about in the upcoming shows? What do you think?
Sure. That sounds good. All right. Sounds good.
Let's do it.
I guess this will change, and we'll have lots of questions and lots of requests as well as we go along. But I guess we've got a rough outline of some of the general questions that people have been asking us, you know, in our day-to-day businesses anyway. And we thought that we were getting a number of them that were repeating. So we thought, well, let's cover those in a podcast, because if those couple of people are asking those questions, then there's a fair chance that other people are trying to think of the answers for those questions as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I guess one of the things we're gonna try and cover is membership sites. I mean, do you want to give us an overview of what a membership site is?
Yeah, funny that. I mean, that's how I was just telling you guys that's one of my self-taught areas. And right now I'm actually working on three membership sites for three different clients. I'm using three different types of software or platforms to make these sites. So a membership site is basically a really cool tool that you can use on the internet. It's a place to send your clients where they can access ongoing discounts, videos, ebooks, which are digital books, articles, comments, things that you want to give to them on an ongoing basis to have brand loyalty to you and hopefully continue to buy additional things. Now, what's really exciting about a membership site is you can actually charge for access to these sites. So it's called a continuity program, and what that means is that on an ongoing basis, just by creating new content and sticking it in a site at an appropriate time, you have people paying you every single month to access this content. And imagine how scalable is that. You create one video and suddenly you have 100 people paying you a monthly fee for that.
Now,
it's a brilliant tool.
That'd be all right if I was a business, but what if I was just a solo entrepreneur, you know, a solopreneur, they call them. Mm-hmm. And what if I was, you know, like, let's say I was a business coach or as a chiropractor or something. How could I even make a membership site if I was just doing that by myself?
Oh, that's a really great question, actually, because in solopreneurs, those are, as we know, them to be experts. So you're an expert in your industry or your area, and that's a really easy way to actually design a membership site, because solopreneurs generally sell their time for money. So you can't really scale. You're seeing a client one by one. And you have all this knowledge in your head, and you can only be paid by the hour. So the membership sites are a great way to just literally extract that knowledge in videos and different types of, you know, articles and things like that, audio, like what we're doing, and putting it somewhere on the internet, and suddenly you have a global marketplace coming to you to access your knowledge that previously only your individual clients could have.
Cool. Okay. Well, I look forward to talking about that in a future episode.
Yes.
Coming up.
Me too.
Let's see. What about? I hear a lot of. We hear a lot about digital products. What are digital products, and how could they be good for a business?
Yeah, great question. And digital products, some people call them info products, information products. It's a big picture description of a whole numerous type of different products, which include ebooks, mm-hmm. which are electronic books,
yep.
which include podcasts, which include videos, which include different little audio clips. You have articles, special reports, anything that is digitally delivered on the internet. That's a digital product, mm-hmm. and something that you sell, basically. So, and really quickly on this point, something that's really exciting that's just happened in April of this year, in 2011, ebooks have surpassed the sales of hard copy books on Amazon.
Really? So, I didn't know that.
Yes, as of April of this year, just very recently. So this is a huge opportunity to package your knowledge in information products using the internet to sell them.
Wow. That's amazing. That's pretty amazing stat. I guess that's got to do with all the Kindles and the those ebook readers that are out in the market right now.
And the iPads and all yeah, of that. Right. Yeah. I mean, how many business people do you see now sitting on the bus or the train or just out and about reading books or newspapers on their iPads? There's a lot of that going on. Have a look around and you'll see what we mean.
I went to a hairdresser the other day. And instead of magazines to read while you're waiting for your haircut, they issued iPads.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it? Isn't it awesome? I'm like, wow, this is pretty... I'm coming back here just to read an iPad. I don't care if I got my hair cut yesterday. I'm coming to do it again today.
Like, seriously, out of all the solopreneurs and small business owners, mid-sized business owners that exist all over the world, everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has an area of expertise.
Yeah.
And there's a specific way that you can package this expertise and create these types of digital products. And it's not hard. You just need to know how to do it.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right, let's move on. What else? What are the things we're going to be covering in these podcasts?
Ooh, I love this one. Video marketing. Video marketing, like, you know, YouTube and making videos of yourself and pushing it out all over the internet. And
yep.
Andrew, you are so knowledgeable in this area, actually. Tell us a little bit more. What is video marketing? How do you use
it? Well, I guess video marketing is one of the things now that's really powerful and yet so easy to do. There's a number of small video cameras that came on the market about 2 years ago, little digital cameras. But all of a sudden now, they're being pulled off the market because the phone technology that's going out there, the new iPhone 4 and all of these new Google phones and that sort of stuff, the video capabilities of these phones is becoming really, really powerful. So nearly everybody now has got a video camera in their pocket. Probably while you're listening to this podcast now, there's a fair chance that you've got your phone within a meter of you. And it's through these videos and these cameras that video is becoming so popular. So it's very easy to pull out your camera and film yourself, either film yourself, film your business, film your products or your services, and then whack it up onto YouTube. Now, there's a little bit more to it than just putting the video up. You want to make sure that people find the video because of so many videos being out there on YouTube right now. You want to be able to make sure that you are addressing the video properly so that when people type in that particular topic that they're searching for, your video pops up. So video marketing is extremely powerful. It's got some really good pulling power, if you like, when people do searches on Google. I'm not going to get into that too much right now.
One question too that we always get is, well, I don't like myself in front of the camera. Is there any way of using video without me actually speaking in front of the camera?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, there's a ton of videos out there that don't have anyone in front of the camera. It can be people talking. It can even be slideshows. It can be photos. Yeah. You can make photos. I did some work for a client recently where they took some photos. They sent them to me. I turned it into a 3-minute video, and they loved it. And they got a lot of great feedback about it. So you don't have to be in front of the camera. If you've got a head for radio, as they say, then you don't necessarily have to be in front of camera if you don't want to be.
And, you know, another really cool thing about videos I thought I'd bring up is that it takes longer to build a website to make it be found in Google. Or, you know, if somebody, say you're a hairdresser and somebody types in, you know, hairdresser in Dallas, Texas, it'll take a little bit more time for that to be found in the rankings in Google or search engines. But for video, oftentimes you can get a video, if it has the right words and descriptions and title on it, it can be found within 24 hours sometimes.
Oh, I've had it in 10 minutes. Page. I've had it in 10 minutes once.
10 minutes.
In a class I was teaching, it came up within 10 minutes, and I was very happy about that, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, so video is king. It is something like digital products that it's just a mandatory thing now to actually
absolutely,
use as part of your business.
And we'll dig into video marketing and tips and tricks on video marketing, I guess, in one of our future podcasts.
Yeah.
Cool. What else are we going to do? I guess we're going to talk about, if we're talking about YouTube, we're going to be talking about Twitter and Facebook too. I guess, you know, what can we say about Twitter and Facebook in three minutes.
And I'll say something briefly about Twitter. It seems to be somehow a tool that so many people are turned off by. They just think it's, in quote unquote, and I've heard this many times before, a waste of my time.
Yeah.
So why is it not a waste of somebody's time, Andrew?
Well, here's the thing with Twitter. Twitter's got one of the best search tools on it, best instantaneous search tools on it. Now let me give you an example. If I was to look for, let's say I was to type into Google Manchester United Football Club, and Manchester United Football Club would give me a whole bunch of results, many of which would be web pages and websites. Websites from last week, the month before, that sort of thing. Now, if I was to type in Manchester United on Twitter, it would give me the most recent information that somebody typed Manchester United about in their tweets. So let's say they were playing a game that day and I wanted to find out the score. I could type in their name and instantly it would come back with people tweeting about Manchester United within the previous few minutes, basically. Sometimes it's milliseconds. Depends on how big the topic is. But you can easily find out instantly what's going on in the world by looking through Twitter. Now, this is pretty cool because you can start narrowing down searches into topics, into keywords, into industries as much as you like. And the fact that you can do some research, very powerful research, on a couple of key areas. One is, who's talking about you? Who is talking to your competitors? What are your competitors saying to their customers? And who's integrating with anybody else that you care to look at? And this is all stuff that you can find instantaneously without having to go and do too much work at all.
And another thing too, you've mentioned the research and the search functionality of Twitter. Market research is oftentimes something that's quite scary for business owners, and they don't really know how to easily go about it, getting data on their potential clients.
Yep.
And Twitter is brilliant for this, and really what's so great about it is that you can tweet or do little updates from time to time with links in them, sending people off to different websites and web pages, oftentimes web pages that you create on your website. And you can actually track to see how many people have clicked on those links and where they come from in the world and a little bit about their demographic.
Yep.
So what that allows you to do is find out what do people want so you can go out and get more and give it to them. You just find out which pages are they going to the most, which topics are they most interested in. So it's a great market research tool as well.
Yeah, I love it for that. I love it for that reason. And I guess many people, as you said, don't get it. And
yeah.
No, that's great if they don't get it, because that's my job, is to teach them how to get it. So.
Yeah, well, and it's also great for you guys who are listening, because all your competitors, not all, but
a lot of them,
large percentage of them, have no idea how to use this amazing tool.
Yep, exactly.
And you can. Now you can use it.
Exactly.
Well, when we get to that podcast, at least.
So we're talking about Twitter. We're going to be talking about Facebook too, I'm assuming, somewhere along the line. So Facebook... Do you want to talk to us about Facebook? What do you love to cover in Facebook section?
So the most important thing about Facebook is that You can actually collect somebody's email address directly from your Facebook page. And a lot of people don't know this, and they're not using this tool. And the reason why that's important is because it's great to have your Facebook community, and it's very important that you have that, but it's also important that you're pulling the user's details that come to your Facebook page and keeping them separate in your own database or your own list of emails. And it's just a safety mechanism. I mean, it does a couple things. What happens if Facebook goes down? I mean, chances are it probably won't, but what happens if it does? Suddenly you lose all your fans. And secondly, you can continue to email these fans of yours separately from Facebook, and it's just another great way of communicating with them. So Facebook, one important thing, how do you use it to collect emails?
Yeah, exactly. How do you put the strategies yes. together to make it work for you?
Well, and we're just doing some really cool things for some local businesses in Australia, actually, Andrew. What are we doing using Facebook for them?
Well, I mean, we're collecting the names and addresses and integrating some brand new stuff, which we may talk about a little bit later. But some of the new technology that's coming out of the US is just phenomenal. And we're using that to integrate with their Facebook pages. And it's getting some just phenomenal results, actually.
We're allowing our clients to give specialized discounts and coupons to people that come to their Facebook page that they can only get on their Facebook page. And there's some really cool little tools to use to do that.
Yeah. I was going to share one example. You said earlier that if your Facebook account ever got shut down. My account got shut down a couple of weeks ago.
That's right,
it did. I just want to share this. You know, I got my account got shut down, and Facebook said, "Hey, we're not very happy with what happened." It turns out that it had nothing to do with me at the end of the day, but it really didn't matter. My Facebook was shut down, and my life, as I knew it, was on hold for a short period of time. But I wasn't too worried about it because of all these things that we do, we practice. And, you know, I was able to... I knew that I had all my database backed up off Facebook by using some strategies that I implement in my clients. And my biggest concern was that what time of the day would I have to just log on and upload all this stuff again? It would have taken me maybe a couple of days to get back to where I was, but I really wasn't worried. If you don't start getting your stuff off Facebook, start getting your information such as your followers, your likers, and all that sort of stuff, and you do get closed down because, you know, it has happened through spamming and that sort of stuff. If you get closed down, you're back to ground zero, and all the hard work you've put in to acquiring those people can be lost in an instant. So
yeah.
We'll talk about how to do that in a future podcast.
And one last really cool thing, again, about Facebook is it's a great tool to build networks and relationships and potential joint venture partners or people that'll help promote your stuff, basically. So especially as a solopreneur and even as a small business, you're going to want to find people out there that believe in your product and that want to help promote your product for you. And Facebook's a really great place to hang out and meet these types of people, these movers and shakers, people in your industry, your raving fans, and to get, you know, assistance in getting your brand out there.
We've got a number of clients that have come through Facebook that we didn't know, people from
yeah.
all over the world, actually, who've known what we've done and followed us, and then done some work with us. So these things are amazingly great tools for your business.
They are. Well, shall we move on?
Yeah, we shall move on.
Head on over to blogging.
Blogging. Yeah, well, where do we start with blogging? I guess we could keep this pretty brief, but essentially a blog is a... It can be interchanged with the word website these days because so many websites are now blogs and vice versa. In the old days, a blog was just that. It was a weblog, which meant that people would put a time, date-stamped, if you like, entry onto the website, and that's all it would be. But now blogs have become so sophisticated that they're an entire website in themselves. And the good thing about blogs is that you want to make sure you're keeping your information current and up to date, because that's what the search engines love. Now, we're going to talk about search engine optimization soon, but you want to make sure that the information you're giving is fresh and new. So every time someone goes to your website, think of it like this. If you went to a website and it had some information on it one day, that'd be fine. If you went back to the website a week later and the information was still the same, Would you go back again on the third week? You probably wouldn't. But if you knew that the information changed every week or on a regular basis, then there's a more chance of you going back and visiting, or more chance of your customers going back and visiting your website. Now, why would you want them to go back and visit on a regular basis? Well, you may have different offers, different things to sell via your website. And if you change that regularly, but you didn't have anyone going back regularly, it'd be a waste of your time.
And that's a great example, actually, exactly of how the search engines work. Same exact point. They have what's called robots. And these little robots go out on the internet and they look for websites that are constantly being updated and have valuable information. So think of the robot as a client as well. If you're not giving this robot exciting, updated information all the time, it's just going to not go anymore. And that means your website's just going to drop off the search. You know, people just won't find you using your search words.
So, give us a rundown of, we spoke about search engine optimization. Do you want to give us a rundown of what that would be and what that, without getting too technical, because I don't want to fry people's brains just yet.
No, we won't fry. We'll keep it really easy and more of a sexy version of SEO. So,
I love sexy versions.
Sexy version. Search engine optimization. Whenever I say those words to clients or just anyone, they just glaze over their eyes, and they think, oh, God, I just give that to somebody else to do. And oftentimes what they mean by that is that the person that set up their website stuck some little what we call keywords or a little description in the website and then just let it sit there and haven't ever changed it since. And that is not setting your site up to be optimized. What SEO really is it's like we just talked about before, one component is lots of updated information that's going onto your site on an ongoing basis. It's also being active externally of your site. So going out there, having a chat on other people's sites by putting comments on their sites. It's putting comments in different forums. You might have heard there's a whole bunch of different forums. A forum is basically just where you can go to seek out information and post Q&A questions about stuff.
Yep.
So go out there. There's press releases and articles that you can actually have written or write yourself and submit all over the internet. And you may or may not have heard the word backlink, but basically what that means is the reason why you want to do these articles and these press releases is they link back to your website. So suddenly you have all these links all over the internet saying this site here is cool because it has a whole bunch of links and a whole bunch of people and websites talking about it. And that's basically search engine optimization.
Okay, I'm frying over just thinking about it.
It's being active on the internet and giving a lot of great information on your site on an ongoing basis. That's
cool, good one, good one. I guess we've got a few other things that we can maybe mention now or later, whatever you like. But
the big picture things I think that are most important is there's the whole thing of selling stuff on the net.
Yep.
Like what do you need to sell stuff
website? Exactly.
And, you know, one of the big things is you might have heard the word shopping cart or, uh-huh. You know, there's PayPal and all
yep.
those things.
Yep.
So there's little systems that you can use to basically stick a product up on your website and sell it.
So we'll show you how to do that, how to use those sort of things. Cool.
Yeah, depending on what you want to sell. Exactly. So there's a whole bunch of great little tricks with that and, you know, using free systems that are already out there to support you.
And we're going to talk about collecting names and addresses and how that's going to work and what happens when you see those little boxes where you put your name and your email address and how do you work those and how do you set them up and what they're all about.
Here's a great example too is a lot of people that set those boxes up, they think, oh great, I'm collecting a list of email addresses from my website, and then they just don't do anything with it. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. They have 13,000 email addresses that they have never sent an email to past the time that they actually signed up, the people signed up on their website. So there's a whole strategy or way of using these emails once the person signs up to get something off your site or to, you know, whether it's a newsletter or a free report, whatever you're going to give them in exchange for collecting their email address. There's a way of communicating with them on an ongoing basis to build that rapport and that relationship. So eventually they're just going to think of you as the go-to place or person to buy products or services in your space.
Do you always have to give away something that costs, like if it was my website, do I have to give away something that's going to cost me money?
No, not at all, not necessarily. some great examples of what people are using are they currently have a newsletter, and they put really great discounts in their newsletter, and they just basically put a form up and say, sign up for our newsletter, and every single month you could save 50% on our services.
Yeah.
Or you, probably all of us out there have some sort of, you know, something that we've written or, you know, an article or whatever. You can easily package that into a free thing to give away, whether it's as an article or ebook. Most people call those free reports, by the way. Or you can just literally sit there and film yourself reading off what you've written in the past and make a video out of it and give that away as a free thing.
So we're going to talk about some of the development of that for people, some of our listeners.
Yeah, how to use what you already have.
Yeah,
so
cool.
So it's not going to cost you a lot of money.
Cool. What else? I think that's a fair bit. Geez, I think we'll be doing this for a year with all that information.
I know, and really, I mean, the most important thing with all this, we will have other topics to come, but to not overwhelm you, there is a way to use these platforms and kind of, you know, set them up in phases so not as to not overwhelm you. There's a very simple way of just setting one thing up after another and then hooking them all together so they're a little system that's working for you. And again, as we said before, don't expect to learn this by yourself, because then you're going to be stepping away from what you're good at.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of small business owners fail, is that they're trying to be everything to everyone, and they can never really truly excel at anything. So for you to be the business owner, to grow your business, to get more clients, stick with what you're good at, and then come listen to us.
Yeah, cool. I think that's what really juices me, is the strategies and the systems that put this stuff together so that you're not spending hours upon hours upon hours either trying to learn it or do it because you're not doing it the right way. You know, it's so much helpful when you've got someone who can direct you on how to do things the right way the first time, rather than, as you said, spend years and years and years, and we've both spent years and years and years doing it ourselves, and it's time to just, you know, dump our brains out, if you like.
Think of us like your personal trainer. Like, if you're going to go into the gym and do some exercises, if you're just slightly misaligned or, like, you know, not moving, 2% just not moving in the correct way, you may not get the effect that you could, or build the muscle that you could, that with a personal trainer could just literally move your body a slight little tweak, and suddenly within 2 weeks you notice a massive difference. So we're your trainer. We're here to help navigate you through this messy, crazy online world and help you know what to use so you get the most muscle in your business.
Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Where can people get some more information? If we're going to have I guess we're going to have some resources as well available for people to download or look at.
Yeah, because a lot of times, guys, we'll actually tell you where to go on the internet to get free things and to get the stuff we talk about, and we'll put these links on the page. So Autopilot Your Business is our business, and we're here to autopilot your business. And you can find us in two places. You can go to Facebook, and you can type in Autopilot Your Business, and we're there, and we'll often, you know, give updates about our podcast there.
Yep.
But you can also go to autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast.
Podcast. Easy.
Yay.
Easy. There'll be big buttons on there to find. If you can't remember the word podcast at the end of it, just remember autopilotyourbusiness.com.
Yeah.
And you'll find us there. But that's where we're going to be directing you to get some great information, some great resources. Keep up to date with what's going on. If you want to share some information, you want to share some questions, you want to ask us some questions, we'll be happy to answer those on the future podcasts.
Yes.
So I guess that's about it from this side of the world.
Yeah, and from this side of the world as well.
All right, then. Been great chatting, H. And then we'll do the next podcast is going to be on.
I think we should start with how to clean up your website if you have one. So sure. It actually is doing the job for you instead of just sitting there and looking pretty or not so pretty in so many people's cases.
Good one.
So first, why don't we talk about how to get your website working for you?
You know, I think that's a great idea, because I think many of our clients who come through are like, oh, we've got this website and it's built in 2004 and it's so old and out of date and it's not doing anything for them. So That's probably a great way to start. Let's do some spring cleaning in their websites, and then we can go from there.
And that's a nice foundation we can set, and we'll start stacking up the other things on top of what they need from there.
Yeah, love it. All right, well, awesome. What was that website again?
AutopilotYourBusiness.com.
All right, we'll chat to you later.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. We look forward to chat next time.
Ciao.
Bye, Andrew.
All passengers and cabin crew should now be seated with their seatbelts securely fastened.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first officer speaking.
On behalf of your captains, Andrew McCauley and Heather Porter, we would like to thank you for taking the journey with us to autopilot your business. You are now closer to putting your own business on autopilot using the internet. Of course, if you would like to rack up some frequent flyer points, visit our website, www.autopilotyourbusiness.com, or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness. These frequent flyer points are totally useless, but the information is gold. Until we fly again, happy travels!